I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go! Go.
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. Now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts, the GUAP. I'm your host, Alex Espinosa, with my co-host, Dr. Hot Dog, Hal Gordon.
Hot Dog!
And today we have longtime Sacramento radio host Carmichael Dave. You can he's the host of the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sactown Sports 1140. Hear him every morning, Monday through Friday. Dave, how you doing, man? Thanks a lot for joining.
So when you guys refer to your the podcast or the blog, do you refer to it in third person or Absolutely. First person or whichever person it is? Do you follow the rules?
Yeah, the Ricky said on the latest podcast. Yeah, the Ricky said. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing great, guys. Thanks. I've listened to your stuff. I appreciate what you do. There's nothing like fan run and normal people. And when I say normal, I mean that as a compliment, not psycho media people.
I was me and Hal. I don't know. Maybe not quite normal. Yeah. I don't know your definition of normal.
I appreciate it though. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot, Dave. So,
by the way, this is Kool-Aid. Just so people know, it's literally tropical punch flavored Kool-Aid.
He's drinking the Kool-Aid, literally, dude.
Literally. No.
Okay. But yeah, Dave. So, like, back on April 3rd, you were the first person to break the news that the A's were going to move to Sacramento temporarily. And you know, now that more than 2 months have passed, and you know, emotions have kind of settled. Where do you kind of sit on this move now? I mean, I saw you calling for the B, and you explained yourself. But right now, here on July 10th, how do you feel about the A's going to Sacramento next year?
The same, you know, yeah. The top line is I want the A's to stay in Oakland, you know, but I also understand that, you know, I want to dunk a basketball after doing a 360 flip, and maybe that's not possible. I'm realistic, but I believe the A's belong in Oakland, just like I believe the Sacramento Kings belonged in Sacramento 10 years ago when we were all a part of that movement to keep the team there. That being said, you know, there's some misconceptions. Like I'm not a fan of this process. I'm not a fan of John Fisher using Sacramento. I'm not a fan of John Fisher. And I do think this thing is destined to fail. At the same time, you know, one thing that I want to make clear is that, you know, a lot of the people that are working on this with the Kings, I love them. And I understand where their heads are at. They're thinking, the Kings are gone, or excuse me, the A's are gone. They're leaving Oakland, and this is better than Salt Lake or Vegas. And if they're going to leave, it's better to have them an hour. Yeah, like I understand at least that thought process, and that is not an evil thought to me. That's a proactive thought. I get it, but for me, the way we were able to stop the Maloofs from relocating the Kings, if you will, is it was like a rat in a maze. And every time they tried to find an escape, whether it was Anaheim, Vegas, Virginia Beach, that was shut down until eventually they threw their hands up and sold the team. I'd like to see John Fisher treated with that same strategy.
Yeah. I think that's my main frustration with the people at the Kings is that they threw him a line, you know? I don't know if he's going to get it done, but it felt bad. It felt rough to be like somebody's, you know, and he's not being, the Kings are not obviously, you know, getting him to Las Vegas, but they threw him a line in a place where he was getting into a really tough corner. And yeah, it's a bummer, but
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just feel like it's all about the TV deal, you know. They're just gonna hold on to that money. But Dave, have you talked to like Vivek at all since this has gone down? And because you know, I read your column in the B and everything, you kind of explained yourself. Have you explained yourself to him, or just kind of had a conversation with him about, you know, his thought process behind this whole move?
No, frankly, no. And
Yeah.
that's not unusual, by the way. We don't talk every day, but we talk a few times a year. And
Yeah.
you know, I think it's one of those, I don't even want to say agree to disagree, because it gets really complicated. Here's what I do know. I know that I am obsessed with the city of Sacramento. I'm a native of Sacramento, and I ride or die for Sacramento. I also know that Vivek, since he bought the Kings, has done nothing but good things for the city of Sacramento. The team, quite frankly, wouldn't be here without him and his ownership group. Wouldn't have Golden 1 Center. And unlike the Bay Area, and I know saying this to Oakland fans sounds weird because the Bay Area is vast, but there's just not a lot of people that want to invest in Sacramento. And I know that Oakland's feeling a lot of that too, and a lot of really unfair stereotypes and narratives are going out there. So we haven't talked, but I also don't know that there's much to say, because I think we both want the same thing, which is to better the city of Sacramento. I just think that we have different ideas. And guess what? He's the billionaire with all the power and connections, and I'm the goofy radio guy. But I do want Major League Baseball in Sacramento. And if I knew for a fact, like if basketball Jesus visited me in a dream and said, the A's are not staying in Oakland, there's no chance, it's not happening. So your choice is they can go to Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, or Sacramento. I would say Sacramento, but with a caveat, because I would fully understand that it's almost like you know, your buddy's getting a divorce. And you're like, well, she's going to shack up with somebody. It might as well be me. That's a tough conversation to have. I'm aware of that, but I also understand that there are Oakland fans, much like a lot of the 916 and 209 makes up a huge part of the season ticket base for Oakland. It would
Absolutely.
just be unfortunate that would have to switch. But guys, and I'm rambling because I'm a radio guy, there's a lot of other issues here, like playing on turf, sharing a stadium and facilities with a minor league team. There's a lot of other things going on here to where I'm not entirely positive this thing's even going to happen.
Really? So
And
even
we should talk about that. But I do want to say, and I think I've said this before, is if it comes with selling, John Fisher not being there anymore, and if it comes with Dave Cavill not being there anymore, if the A's are permanently in Sacramento and John Fisher's forced to sell, it's a loss. It's certainly a loss for the city of
sure.
Oakland. I think that it is a, it is a hard fought draw slash, a 60% win, 40% loss for Oakland A's fans. I think if they stay in Sacramento with new ownership and with that name, I would encourage, all A's fans, and I know not all will, but I think a lot will. I would encourage all A's fans to, buy an Amtrak pass, and go there, go there just as often as they went to the Coliseum. But yeah, let's get into the when you get something for free like John Fisher is getting, it's never perfect. It's never great. You're gonna have to give up a lot of stuff and make it real weird. So, I mean, it's gonna be so hot next summer. They're gonna be playing on on artificial grass, which is going to be even hotter. They're gonna like, I mean, are people gonna go to Rivercats games? Because like, if you want to go to a baseball game, you know, why not see Aaron Judge, you know, crank homers off of a pitcher to be named later, rather than go see a Rivercats game? I mean, it this for all the reasons the A's said they couldn't go to Las Vegas, they're all the same reasons why they shouldn't go to Sacramento for the next couple of years. So I mean, you know, what's the feeling? Like, how are people expecting this to go?
You ever, I call it the sports car experience, and I'll explain. I'm the king of analogies here, so bear with me.
I love
Everybody
it.
at some point in their life has been confronted with a decision like this. I'll give you my example. When I was 19 years old, I went to go get a really cheap used car, and I was looking at a Honda Accord, and point A, point B, not the prettiest car, but it'll get you there. And my buddy actually happened to work at the dealership. And I was getting ready to go in and start signing papers for the Accord. And he goes, "Hey, by the way, you should take a look at this other car." And it was like a 1995 Dodge Stealth, like blue Batmobile looking car. I'm 19 years old, so we can all guess what I was thinking about when it came to getting a sports car versus a Honda
Hell
Accord.
yeah.
And the payments was a little over double what it would have been for the Accord, but I so fell in love with the idea of driving the sports car and everything that would go with it that I went, "You know what? I'll worry about that later. Right now, I'm getting in this car and I'm gonna go meet up with some friends, if you know what I'm saying." And it was a snowy day in St. Paul, Minnesota, about 2 years later, when a guy knocked on my door. I had since relocated there for a job, and he said, "Hey, look, I'm here to repo your car. You know I'm here to repo your car. You haven't made a payment in 6 months. And I see you have golf clubs and a few other things in there. If you turn your alarm off and let me hook this thing up, my tow truck, I'll let you get your clubs and your personal belongings out." And I did. And I watched as thousands of miles from home, my beautiful vehicle was being towed away in a snowstorm, and I didn't have a car to get to work the next day. My long-winded point is that sometimes when we want something so badly, we push away the paying the piper because we'll do that later. The problem is, we may, this is in play, guys. He may actually see the first Major League Baseball player spontaneously combust on a field at this point next year. And I'm not gonna lie, although entertaining, not cool. They probably have a family. Nobody wants to see death when they go to a baseball game. And look, I'm looking at the temperature right now for Sacramento for just this week alone. Today it's 108, 112 Thursday, 111 Friday, 103 Saturday. We were in the 110s and above, I think 5 out of 7 days last year, and that's fairly normal. Now, AstroTurf, if you want to call it that, artificial turf has improved since the days of Busch Stadium and Arlington and all that. But a lot of people say, "Guys, there's like five teams or six teams, Arizona, Tampa Bay. There's all these teams that play on turf. You're overblowing it." Yeah, they all have roofs. That's the difference.
100%.
There's no roof at this park, and you're adding 20 to 30 degrees. There's a lot that's really weird about this, guys. And again, I know I'm rambling, but bear with. Number one, how are they getting the players you need to agree to this?
I don't
How
know.
is the play? How is
What?
that happening? Number one. Number two, how is Major League Baseball and the other owners, how are they saying, "Nah, you know what? We'd rather forego the $3 to $4 billion relocation fee in Las Vegas and let John Fisher take his jalopy of a franchise," and that's no offense to the A's, that's what he's done to it, "take them to Vegas rather than have a brand new team with a brand new owner? Why is he not being charged a relocation fee? Why are the owners foregoing tens of millions of dollars in a relo fee so that he can go to Sacramento and then he can screw up a prime relocation spot, literally the hottest sports market in America? And he's going to take this team in there. And if you think, "Oh, it's just baseball," has anybody checked and seen what the Earthquakes are doing lately, what their attendance is, what their record is? They're the worst in
Their
MLS.
fans,
Their
yeah, their
attendance
fans
bottom
and
three.
protesting, yeah.
I'm not a tinfoil hat guy. I'm not a, in fact, I'm the anti. I'm the one that always says, dude, you're smoking weed. Stop with the conspiracy theories. Leave it alone. But there's something going on here that we don't see quite yet. And at some point, I think that the sports car is going to get repossessed on this whole thing.
That's what people are hoping. I mean, the sell movement is all over the country, you know. And but also in that column, you said you think in the second or third seasons, you think the interest will fade. Maybe that first season they'll have the novelty, but by year two, year three, you know, sitting in 108, you know, doesn't sound so appealing anymore, right? Or do you?
You know, yeah. Look,
I mean, people go to Rivercats games right now.
Yeah, they do. The Rivercats do a decent job. Let me back that up. The Rivercats do an amazing job. The Republic, the USL team, do an amazing job. They just had 12,000 people out there on a Tuesday night last night to play the Seattle Sounders in the U.S. Open Cup match. Like, this is no disrespect to the Rivercats, to the Republic, of course. And it's not even a disrespect to the Kings. Look, the Kings are they're very good at what they do. They're going to market the hell out of this thing. They not only do they own the Kings, but they also own the Rivercats. So when you talk about, are people going to go to Rivercats games? That's the other thing. They're kind of taking the shorts on Rivercats attendance and expendable income, and they don't own the A's as of right now. And maybe you could say Vivek's play is to just get in there and then eventually convince John Fisher, not just to sell the A's, but we were talking last week on the show, maybe there's a Godfather offer where Vivek or a group goes to John and says, hey, look, dude, you don't want any part of this anymore. Why don't we just do this? We'll give you $3 billion. You give us the Earthquakes. You give us the A's. We're going to relocate them both up here and you're out of sports forever. I don't know. Do I think people will attend the games? I think the first year will be standing room only for the most part. When I say that, let me just say, I think all the tickets will be sold. I also think if they're smart, and they are smart, they're probably going to have some sort of package where you're going to get a 3-year deal where you commit to 3 years of season tickets, and that's going to fill up very, very quickly. There's a big difference, though, between, as you know, as A's fans, tickets sold and people dressed as empty seats.
Yeah.
And I think by year two, year three max of 50, 60 wins a year, I do think a lot of Sacramentans are going to say, what are we suffering out here when this guy is ditching all our good players? And shockingly, John Fisher's not spending any money out here.
Another thing, yeah.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are.
Go, 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 go! Go.
With Erlita, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erlita is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erlita may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erlita can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erlita is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erlita.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. Now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
You know, a whole nother thing too, I guess, is, you know, with Vivek, if he does want to make that huge offer, but according to Google, he's only worth like $700 million. I say only, you know, as a, you know,
right,
when,
I get it.
When it comes to sports owners, you know, I mean, Fisher's worth $3 billion, I think, by comparison. I mean, where would this money come from? I mean, he would have to have some major heavy hitters on board with him, right? Because I know people say, "Oh, Vivek can just buy the A's," but he needs a lot of support, right? I mean.
He does. He does. And he'd have to have an ownership group, much like the Kings, who I think when the Kings ownership group bought here from the Maloofs, I want to say they had upwards of around 30 people that were a part of that group that former mayor Kevin Johnson put together. It would be roughly the same thing. Now, keep in mind, when the Kings sold, it was for a then record $535 million just, 11 years ago. The team's worth $3 billion now. Those investors have seen six times their money. This is an important point because you're right. It's not like Vivek's going to reach into his pocket and write a check. But then again, most people, when they go, well, okay, the Kings sold for $535 million. That's cool. He wrote a check for $535. That's a lot different. And I think the general consensus, even for people that care enough about that transaction, is that Vivek and his group bought the team for $535 million. No, they bought the Maloof portion of $535 million. They bought that at 65%. So they bought roughly their share was like $350 and change million dollars for the majority ownership. Everybody put in their own money. And just because Vivek is the chairman, it doesn't mean that he has 90%. In fact, I've tried to find out. I don't know exactly what check he wrote to buy the Kings. But keep in mind, what the media reports is that the Kings sold to the Vivek Ranadive Group for $535 million in 2012, 2013. The check he wrote, I've heard, is somewhere in the range of $45 to $70 million. That's what he wrote. And of course, you have collateral, you have other businesses. They work at a level we don't work at. It's not like he's writing it out of his checking account or crashing a CD or a 401k. He's going out and leveraging that money and putting it into an investment, which is a team. And then you watch that team's equity grow and you cash out through selling the team or borrowing against the team. I'm getting nerdy here, but this is my wheelhouse. I love this stuff.
Hey, how's an economist? Because, so you're in the right spot. So yeah.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Feel free to tell me I'm full of garbage. But in a situation like this, let's just say in this silly world, let's say John Fisher said, "All right, I want $3 billion for the A's," and everybody said, "Yeah, well, I want to marry prime Pam Anderson." That's not happening. Your team max is worth $2 billion. Because that's another thing, as you know, John Fisher right now is trying to raise equity, and he's valuing.
I'll put out the Sacramento Kings are worth $3 billion with a brand new state of the art stadium
downtown. And all
the
that.
Oakland A's are a piece of paper, which is a very valuable piece of paper, which says you're allowed to be in Major League Baseball. But that's it, right?
You're correct.
And yeah, so they ain't getting $3 billion. But I also wonder if someone like Vivek, who's had a lot more, I think everyone, John Fisher's investment has also climbed and increased in value. But despite what he's done, it seems like Vivek's and the Kings have increased in value partly just because every NBA team has increased, but also largely because of what they've done to the team. So I have a feeling that if he would have a lot better and easier ways to find co-owners, I mean, he already has all those co-owners. John Fisher has zero co-owners right now. So,
you're 100% right.
Yeah, he's going to be able to find people, who are thinking, yeah, I'd like to give my money to Vivek to run this team, where I don't know. It seems like nobody is willing to give money to John Fisher, which it just breaks my heart.
No, it's about partners. And when you're somebody who has a vast amount of wealth, just think of it as putting bait on a hook. And what pond do you want to fish in? And how can you get the best return on your investment? Now, there's no question that Major League Sports in America right now are a tremendous investment. We can just point again to what the Kings have done since they sold, and they're 6x what they were right now. I think it's also important when you understand just how bad John Fisher is at this. If you believe reports, he's trying to raise this equity. He's valuating the team around $3 billion, whereas most would valuate it around two at best, if not below that. And here's something that gets missed a lot in these reports. The Oakland A's are worth $2 billion, $3 billion, whatever number you want to put on it. They're worth what they sell for, but there's a difference between buying equity in a team and buying controlling equity in a team. Sure. When you buy controlling equity in the team, those are the prime shares that are worth the money. When you buy, if the three of us were going to, if we were rich and we were going to pool and say, let's go in 10%, we're going to go in 10% on the A's or the Kings or the Knicks or the Lakers. We're glorified season ticket holders. Our 10% is there to go up, like investing in an Airbnb, to go up with the market, but we don't get to make decisions. We get a yearly family event at the Coliseum or the park where our kids get to play with the run the bases. And by the way, when the team wants to make an investment, like in real estate or upgrade the scoreboards or do God knows whatever, they have what's called a cash call. And if we own 10% of the club,
we're required and John to put money in.
You have to put money in, and you can't
lose your shares.
Or then the owner or one of the owners can pay your cash call, and they then get that percentage of your equity. So it's a lot of mathematics. The point is, John Fisher's trying to sell something to people that it's false. It's not that. So Vivek isn't stupid. Vivek is incredibly smart at this stuff. So for him, and again, I don't know that he's doing this, but I'm just saying I could see this on the chessboard. He's going, okay, I'm going to have no problems raising an ownership group because I just raised one 10 years ago and I got them 6 times their money. And I can show you graphs on these baseball teams where it's doing nothing but going up on your investment. Raising the money is not the issue. The issue is getting John Fisher to sell. And maybe the play is, and I suspect that this is what it is, if we get the A's to Sacramento, supposedly for 3 years, and guys, we all know it's four minimum. This 3 year stuff is garbage. Yeah, it's at least 4 years. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Vegas has all kinds of issues anyways. Maybe Vegas falls through. John Fisher throws up his hands and Vivek's right there saying, well, I'm glad you did that, by the way. And here we go.
Well, they're going to want to bring a winning team to Vegas too. And they're many years away from being a winning team. They need all the help they can get.
Yeah. And do you think there's any possible chance that the A's, do you know like who owns the land at Sutter Health Park? Because I was looking and it looks like between the stadium and the parking lots below, it's like over 40 acres of land right there. It's kind of near the river. You got the bridge and downtown views and everything. Like, do you envision any scenario where the A's just put a new major league ballpark right there in that lot? And is that even possible? You know, like, could you see that?
So, yeah, the land stuff is complicated because, as I understand it, when Vivek bought and the Kings bought the River Cats 2 years ago, the former Raley Field, that stadium came with it and the land surrounding. Now you certainly could break down that land and build a new stadium. The problem is that this is not the same environment it was when Golden One Center was being built. You had a mayor in Kevin Johnson who was a freaking former NBA player, for God's sakes. You had Daryl Steinberg who took over for him, but at the time Daryl Steinberg was the president of the state Senate. You had a Sacramento as president of the state Senate. You had a former NBA player as Sacramento's mayor. So between the state Senate greasing the wheels with things like CEQA, environmental stuff, things that are way too boring, and the local mayor greasing the city council, you had a much bigger appetite for a public-private partnership. Now, Kevin Johnson's gone. Daryl Steinberg is about to retire from being mayor this November. And the runoff, the two candidates, one has already come out and said, we have other things to focus on other than sports. There's no sports background there that I'm aware of at all.
Yeah.
And the other one was one of two people. The other candidate for mayor, Kevin McCarty, was one of two people on the then city council that voted against funding Golden One Center. So it would have to be privately funded. So now all of a sudden you're talking about another $800 billion on top of that.
And interest rates are very different now than what they were before. You know, one question I sort of had for you, and just as a Sacramento fan, and I know this would be like maybe hard to predict, but like, what is it going to feel like to root for the A's? Like, what are people going to be? Is it going to be similar to kind of going like, you know, if you're if you're on vacation and in a different, or just on a trip in a different city, and you just go and see the local team, and you're just like, oh, I'm here because it's an MLB, but you know, this isn't my team, so I don't really care. You know, I when people know that the team is going to leave after 2 or 3 years, I think this will become more and more poignant as they get closer to moving to Las Vegas. Like, it's not, you know, that part of that love of your sports team is knowing that, you know, this is something you're going to pass down to your kids, and it's something that's always going to be there. Like what are you anticipating it feel like for Sacramentans to be a fan of a team that doesn't want to, you know, that's like
It's like a transient
leaving
franchise.
anyway? I know that there's, I know you could, some people tell them that themselves the story that they're there to support Sacramento and eventually we'll get our own team, but like that's, it's weird.
It is weird. It's weird, and it's almost unprecedented. You could point out, you could say, for example, New Orleans, Oklahoma City, and Katrina, and what happened in the NBA there that greased the wheels for them to get something. I'll say this. There's a couple points I think that are important here. Number one, I'm a native Sacramentan, and I do ride or die for this city, but it's also important, as you guys know, I don't speak for everybody. So I'll speak for me and what I know are a lot of other people, because there's differences. Look, we die with our teams. We live and die with our teams. There's also people, by the way, they just want to go and have some popcorn and eat some licorice. And hey, if you lose in the playoffs, it's, oh, we'll get them next year. Whereas I'm ready to jump off a cliff every time the Warriors, beat our Kings in the playoffs or do whatever. It's like the end of the world to me. There's a different level. We use things like casual fan as an insult. And I don't think it's an insult. I actually think it's healthier to be a casual fan and not be a loser like me who
That's
pins
where
his
the
entire
franchises
life.
get their money. I mean, those fair weather fans, right?
And there's nothing wrong with that. So you're going to have some people that are like, hey, baseball in Sacramento, let's go. I'm fully in, and we're going to show the world what we're made of. Then you're going to have like the actual A's fans that are here that are like, this feels like kissing my sister, but it's here. I'll check it out. And then, a month into it, they're into it. I think it's also important that I tell you guys in this interview that, I'm a diehard Giants fan. I'm not an A's fan. I'm Will Clark's my favorite player of all time. I've never been an A's fan. This isn't about the A's to me. This isn't, there are things that are bigger than rooting interests. This is about people and community and sports and that through line and 8-year-old kids having their hearts ripped out. And the idea that, think about this, guys, there's going to be some 6-year-old kid next year, watching the A's make their debut here, that at 10 years old is going to watch the, perhaps is going to watch the only team he or she has ever known in baseball go relocate. And I know there's an idea of showcasing Sacramento for Major League Baseball, and maybe I'm being naive, but as a Giants fan, I can fully admit a couple of things. Number one, their ownership is garbage. I mean, John Fisher is garbage. They're also garbage. They're just better at hiding it. Number two, their hands are filled with blood on this move. And as you know, the whole San Jose thing and the Walter Haas family and
Dude,
all
they're
that. See, I
pushing
can
it.
be a
They're excited. They're loving that Oakland's
They
leaving.
love
They,
this. So, do we honestly think that if they get the A's out with the influence they have with baseball, with a new commissioner coming in down the road, do we think the Giants are going to be okay with now all of a sudden them now claiming the entire 916, which is a crown jewel to the Northern California market? This is a baseball town after all. You think they're going to let that territory be taken by an expansion team or a relocating team? I feel like that's incredibly naive, but I'm not, listen, I'm not the smart guy here, and I'm not the guy with the hundreds of millions of dollars. So I don't know. To answer your question, some people are going to love it. Some people are going to be ambivalent. And then there's going to be some people that don't want to see the name Sacramento associated with John Fisher.
Well, good news, it won't be because they'll just be the Athletics.
I know. That's a whole nother
I
thing.
know.
Okay. Well, Dave, thank you so much for your time, man. That was a great chat. Really, really appreciate your insights and everything and your passion. So thank you so much. Make sure to go listen to the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports 1140 on Monday through Friday in the mornings. Dave, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Take care. Thanks so much, and good luck with everything.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are.
Go, 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 go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43926-7V1.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches. Now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.